From Relativity and our Relativity One partners, this is Uncivil Procedure, the eDiscovery podcast. Hi, I'm Anna Sarunian, Program Manager at Relativity, and here is your host, Relativity Discovery Council and Legal Education Director, David Horrigan.
Thank you, Ms. Sarunian, and welcome, of course, to the inaugural episode of Uncivil Procedure. It may be uncivil discourse, but we are talking about real and some fake civil cases. Today's topic is innovation. It's often been said that the worst way to innovate and ensure there is no innovation is to form an innovation committee. But today we're going to be talking about innovation in many ways, whether it be in really bad booze, really good manicures, perhaps Barbie dolls, maybe Matchbox V Hot Wheels, and perhaps we might even talk about a computer company called Wang. But first, before we talk about all these various sundry things, we're going to have a word from this episode's sponsor, Relativity One partner, CDS.
Support for this episode of Uncivil Procedure is brought to you by CDS. CDS is an e-discovery solutions provider helping corporations, law firms, and government agencies through complex discovery matters. Their team of seasoned legal experts and technicians support all stages and types of e-discovery using the most advanced analytic technologies alongside proven, defensible workflows. CDS's solutions are driven by experts to solve seriously tough matters. Trust in our diligent and creative team to lower costs, reduce data volumes, and save time.
Thank you again, Ms. Sarunian, and of course, our friends at CDS. Now let's meet our guest, Tim Kennedy, of the venerable law firm McDermott, Will & Emery. Tim, welcome to Uncivil Procedure.
Thank you, David. Good to be here.
What in God's name possessed you to come join us today?
I think I got the wrong phone call. It must have been meant for somebody else, but this is fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Excellent. Well, we are happy to have you. And now, Tim, to help you out, we will have three of our esteemed Relativity colleagues who will lead you down this primrose path, or let's just call it an adventure, in legal technology, uncivil procedure, and innovation. First is Daniel Pelk. Daniel is relatively new to Relativity. That is a tongue twister, but no stranger to our industry. He's senior marketing manager working with our law firm clients. Last year, Daniel wanted to see if he could travel from his house in suburban Minneapolis to visit his parents in Memphis without taking a plane or a car. The answer is an absolute yes. And it took a little more than 24 hours after one bus, two trains, including Amtrak. Thank you for federal subsidies for bringing Daniel Pelk to us. Please join me in welcoming Daniel Pelk.
Thank you, David. My wife thought I was nuts, and she flew down and met me there.
It would seem as though your wife is the one with the cerebral matter, because she was no fool to be back in the back of that bus or the back of that train or the back of anything. And you, sir, you survived. You're here.
Adventure of a lifetime.
And you lived to tell about it, and you're looking great. Daniel Pelk, Esquire, thank you very much. Next is Julie Huner, Esquire. She's been with Relativity for 6 years and is currently Customer Success Manager, helping drive product adoption with enterprise clients. Julie has more than 10 years of experience in the legal industry, including a former life as an attorney. Note that's former life, not half life, even though we are a scientific company. Recently, Julie launched a campaign to become an Instagram influencer and already has an impressive number of followers. Julie, exactly how many followers do you have?
I mean, it's breaking news, but I am up to 61 followers as of about 10 minutes ago.
That's only because Ms. Sarunian followed you to
Yeah, and hopefully
numbers.
The rest of you will also do that after we finish filming this.
Goal 65.
Yeah, for sure. Goal 65 by the end of the day.
Excellent. We'll help you get there. We're moving on to our third, last, but certainly not least panelist, and it is Constantine Pappas, Esquire, Manager of Solutions here at Relativity. He is a longtime attorney and a longtime guy under the hood of technology, helping Relativity partners, customers, anyone who needs the astute techno-lawyer advice of Constantine Pappas to have success in e-discovery. Please join me in welcoming Constantine Pappas. Constantine, has anything significant in your life happened in the last few days?
Well, I just celebrated my 7-year anniversary at the company, so I guess that is significant. 7-Eleven, no less.
Did you get a free Slurpee?
I did not.
Bad.
I didn't know that I had that coming to me. I have lots of things coming to me that was not on the list.
We do not have 7-Elevens in the state of Minnesota.
What? Do you get them at the movie theater?
If I can. but certainly not for free and not on 7-Eleven.
All right, as we've been discussing, today's topic is innovation. Let's ask our panelists and, of course, our esteemed guest, Counselor Kennedy, what we would want to do if we could bring back any innovation. Tim, what would you bring back?
Well, I'd have to go with the drive-through theater. I mean, that just seems to be gone.
On what innovation are you waiting, Daniel Pelk?
I want a real driverless car. I want to sit back and watch movies. I don't want to worry about anything. I want pure driverless car. That's what I'm looking for.
Daniel Pelk, here's a funny factoid. They say that children born today will never drive a car. Let that sink in.
Knowing some of the children of some of the friends that I have, thank God.
Well, let's hear it for insurance company profit margins. All right, let's go with one more. Let's go to Julie Huner and ask her what legal innovations we've evolved beyond.
Oh, yeah, I feel like this is one. Well, my prior life at Relativity, I was on the product management team and I worked on productions. And one of the ones that would come up a lot when you would talk to clients is they would be talking about like the whole bait stamping process. And they'd all start talking about, oh, the origin of the bait stamper and sitting there and using it on paper documents. And I think it's an interesting one because it's not necessarily something we move beyond, but it's adapted, right? So, like, people aren't sitting there, you know, stamping the documents anymore, but it's still something that we, when we talk about productions, we talk about the bait stamp on the document. So I think that one just always resonated with me as something that the legal industry kind of had to find a way to continue to use that metaphor because it was something everyone was so used to. But it doesn't necessarily even make sense in the world of the electronic document, right?
But isn't that sound just etched into your head as an attorney? It's just something that just brings you back, sort of like the sound of dial-up internet, just something that gets to your core. The ka-chunk, I just remember that day in and day out.
You know what I took away from that, actually, is that I'm the only non-attorney in this room.
True.
So that's fun.
So you missed the bait stamp, too, then, right?
I don't really actually know what you're talking about.
We didn't go just from the bait stamp to the wonderful world of electronic discovery. Who here remembers the bait stamp sticker?
They were self-adhesive, at least. You didn't have to...
Yep. God help
lick
you.
The back of them, or like an envelope, or like a Seinfeld nightmare scenario, or whatever, but it was... They were not fun, but they were better than the stamper, I would say, yeah.
God help you if you made a mistake.
Oh, yeah, peel that sucker off. Constantine, are you joining me in the post-traumatic stress disorder recovering from those days of stickies?
That whole experience, and Julie went through it as well, of those days of not just those stickers, but of the little, like, the pink jelly that you would put on your finger in order to turn pages.
Oh, yeah.
And there was actually, this sounds a little weird, but like a rubber,
the finger.
That you would use so that you wouldn't get paper cuts and everything.
Yeah.
There was a whole like family of products built around like paper review that I'm
delicate.
Very happy to be, yeah, and you're soaking
delicate
in it, right?
It's Madge from Palmolive.
And now you're a hand model.
And now, yes. And now look how delightful the viewers or the listeners can hear how nice my hands are.
Let's give you a play-by-play of the manicure of Constantine Pappas. I think those are some darn good-looking cuticles, sir.
Not bad, actually.
They're sublime.
You know, before we leave this trip down memory lane, Tim, what do you think causes innovation to fail?
Well, there's a lot of reasons why it fails. I think the challenge always is to convince folks that are tied to the old way that there's another option. And we counter it all the time. You know, there's some practitioners who want the paper copy, and they want the printout.
So they want the paper copy, they want the paper cut. They want to have associates spending long hours toiling over boxes and boxes.
Is this time to plug Relativity Mobile?
Oh, please, Ms. Sarunian.
I mean, Julie was on the product team.
I was on the product team. We do have a solution for that. But I do think that raises an interesting point around innovation, and that's getting other people on board with your innovation, right? And in the legal industry, that can sometimes be lagging a little bit. And there's always those people that are like, I'm going to hit print. I want this as a paper document. And I know the listeners can't see this, but we've all got paper documents in front of us right now, too.
You've sold us out, Counselor Huener.
I know.
Oh,
speak
man.
Speak for yourself. I have my iPad right here.
All right. You know, we've talked about all this innovation, but who innovates better than Relativity Partners? Perhaps it's time for another message from Ms. Cerunian and our friends at CDS.
Support for this episode of Uncivil Procedure is brought to you by CDS. Discovery and investigations are getting more demanding and complex, all while your legal budget is tightening. CDS's legal and IT specialists understand the constant shifts in e-discovery and can help you stay on budget and meet your timeline every single stage. Focus on the core legal challenges and let us handle all things e-discovery.
Constantine, you know, yes. I've spent a fair amount of time in Boston, and there used to be a computer company based there known as Wang. Apparently, you have a Wang story?
Right, I do. So when I was much younger than I am now, I know that I sound really youthful and exuberant, but I'm actually...
And you look youthful and exuberant, too.
That's not at all the case.
Especially your hands, yeah.
My hands, yes. I took an informational interview with a law firm in Milwaukee. And part of the tour that I took was with their head of IT. And he was so proud of all of the equipment that he was tasked with managing, and one was like this bank of really old Wang servers, and he they had already gone under, and he wasn't even aware that they weren't even a company anymore, and it just goes to show where, as we're talking about innovation, the legal industry is not known for innovation, or at least law firms are not known for innovation. And that makes it especially challenging when you are building products for law firms, because it's a very conservative user base. And it just sort of leads to this this perpetual cycle of convincing people that they need to adopt something new, that it will make their lives better, that sort of thing. So yeah, the Wangs were, they were old. They weren't good. And I can say that without any concern for that company, since they've long since pushed up the daisies.
But their mark is still in Boston. Half of the town is named Wang. There's the Wang Theater, the Wang this, the Wang
I'm
that.
I'm glad you clarified that.
Yes, yes. We're now going to try to stump our panelists. If you're familiar with the NPR Weekly News Quiz, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, they too stump the panelists. But we're going to take, because this is a legal podcast of Uncivil Procedure, a more legally nuanced way of doing this. All right, so who wants to take question number one?
Which one's the easiest question? That's the one I want.
I think Julie wants to go first.
I'll get it over with, yeah.
Julie, you are going to relive the bar exam
oh,
over the
no.
next few moments.
Oh,
one of my
no.
worst nightmare.
Those blue books.
I didn't have to
oh.
take it, though, so...
In a 5-4 decision, the U.S. Supreme Court in June ruled that police need a warrant to obtain what type of personal data unless an ongoing emergency requires immediate access? Here's a hint. If you're a typical user, you give apps from Facebook to your camera permission to access these data.
I was going to say photos or something like that.
Let's give Counselor Huener another hint. In a case that may hit mainstream media outlets, including Slate, the U.S. Supreme Court delivered a historic victory for privacy in Carpenter v. United States this summer, where they were talking about people and data talking on...
Huh? I don't know. I still don't know.
Oh.
I did say I was a former attorney, right?
Noted for the record. But we want to be fair and equitable here, because this is an uncivil place of law and equity. Legal Tech News also covered this case, noting that Justice Sotomayor voiced her discomfort with unfettered police access to this type of data during oral arguments last fall. Quote, a blank can be pinged in your bedroom. It can be pinged at your doctor's office. It can ping you in the most intimate details of your life. Presumably, at some point, even in a dressing room as you're undressing. To our censors at Relativity Headquarters, that is a verbatim quote from the Supreme Court of the United States. Now, Counselor Huner.
I feel like we've lost sight of what the actual question was. Can we maybe go back?
Ms. Cerunian, are you trying to tell me as usual that I have been rambling?
Not at all.
Been wrangled again by Anna Cerunian. Tim, any thoughts on Carpenter v. United States? You want to be an assist here? Because teamwork, we're all about teamwork.
Sure, here. I'll give an assist. It sounds like you're talking about location data.
Yes.
That makes sense.
And where do they get that location data?
Oh, on your phone, your apps.
That's why Tim's our guest. Tim, you have come a little step closer to winning a Relativity Blog mug, a Relativity Blog smock, or many of the swag article stuff we all get. Who knew what swag stood for?
I did.
I'm not sure I do.
You
do. You do now.
Stuff we all get.
All right.
Stuff we all get.
Fantastic.
We all get.
Awesome.
Oh, George Carlin and the seven words you're not allowed to say on a broadcast. Miss Cerunian has
Oh, my violent. Stars.
I didn't read that anyway.
Do we have an explicit rating for our podcast?
I don't know. I
yeah,
almost
that's
fainted
a good
just
point.
Then.
Is Brendan Ryan around here anywhere? Because he's going to shut our operation down if he hears this. We'll tell you what. Let's hope he's not listening, and we'll keep going. Constantine, oh, you want Mr. Pelk to take the next one?
Oh, no. Hit me. Whatever.
All
that's
right.
Good.
All
I want
right.
the question with the most whimsy.
Constantine Pappas, it's sort of a serious subject, so it's not as whimsical as you may like, but it is innovation, it is technology affecting our daily lives.
Okay.
All right. A maturing family of technology is increasingly appearing in domestic violence and even sometimes in murder cases. On the domestic violence side, as a result, lawyers are beginning to change the language of restraining orders they draft to protect their clients. In addition, another case involved a mystery of a hot tub. Your hint is, blank, you should be smarter than this.
I used to hear, Constantine, you should be smarter than this.
That's like your performance review, right? Like,
flashbacks to every day of my childhood. I mean, if we're talking about smartness, obviously I'm not prepared for such a conversation, but it sounds like we're talking about smart devices. Home devices.
Ding, ding, ding. I was going to give you the fact pattern of State v. Bates, of people going to the hot tub, murder mysteries, people wanting the Amazon Alexa data, Amazon coming in on First Amendment grounds, the defendant saying, don't bother Amazon, it's okay. Amazon thinking, okay, we're out of this now. And then the guy being acquitted, or not acquitted, just charges dismissed. But Constantine, because of your powerful intellect, knowledge of the law, and knowledge of smart things, including smart devices, there's no need.
Well, nonetheless, I want to know more about this hot tub situation. The hot tub was the murder weapon?
Not exactly.
Gotta watch out for those hot tubs.
Yeah, really.
Like death by hot tub? Someone like commanded the hot tub to kill someone?
Said hot. All right.
Constantine in the hot
head.
Tub with the Amazon Alexa.
For sure.
Next time you kill someone in your hot tub, Constantine, here are the things to avoid.
Can I take some notes?
Sure, please. No, they go into the hot tub, and someone tragically ends up dead. And the cop prosecutors, the police actually, want the Amazon Alexa data.
Just as witness data, not as exactly. cause data. Okay.
Now,
I didn't know if like someone was using voice commands to tell the hot tub to turn to an unreasonable temperature and the person had a latent heart defect or something like wacky like that.
That's all good.
Which would have been more whimsical, but we didn't get there.
Constantine, that's absolutely like, genius.
I know.
Yeah. Be careful.
But like, what would they do? Be the murderer's like, Alexa, I'm getting ready to kill this person in the hot tub. Like,
turn off
I
don't
know if it's like,
heat.
Alexa, dim the lights so that they can't see me approach from the south or something like that. You know, I didn't know what the implication, the fact pattern was. Okay.
Well,
so these cases, these restraining orders are really to gather recorded information that could be, you know, potentially useful.
Exactly, because you don't know what it's picking up. And State v. Bates, I always thought it's interesting. I don't know what you guys think, but as many of you know, to use Alexa, you have to use the word Alexa. It's the trigger word that gets Alexa going.
That's what they tell us.
That, right? Yes, exactly. Collecting that data. But in this hot tub situation, it wasn't anything about the temperature, although that was very astute, sir. It was about the idea that Alexa would have picked up the murder.
Yeah.
And so if Alexa's not triggered, what are you going to say? Hello, Alexa, I think I'll murder my friend now.
The question is whether the term Alexa triggers the response or triggers the recording.
Yeah. Triggers the recording.
That's the question.
And I thought I had heard a lot about it being the latter.
Well, it's got to be receptive the whole time to even hear the word Alexa.
Yes.
Right? It's got to be listening all the time.
It's supposed to trigger the recording at that point.
Yeah.
It's not entirely certain that that is the case.
So, Daniel Pelk, you are telling us that Alexa is eavesdropping on everything we do?
According to conspiracy theorists, yes.
Wow.
Siri, too.
See, another thing in this case, innovation and technology is all around us. There was a metered water system noting that there was an exorbitant amount of water used in the wee hours of the morning. And the theory was, once again, Constantine, if you're taking notes the next time you're murdering someone in a hot tub...
The other stuff has gone stale, so I'm looking for new
ideas. Those notes will be discoverable, so be careful.
Yeah, don't use a lot of water, because the police will then think that, I don't know, you're trying to drown the daisies or something. Let's move now to our third batter-up.
I'll take what's left, David.
Do you feel as though you're at the donut shop when everyone else has taken everything good, Daniel Pelk?
I'd like the plain cake donut, please.
Luckily for you, we've got a glazed cruller waiting for you, counselor.
It's always a carrot cake one that's left
It is
over.
Carrot cake,
Oh, I like
you're
the
right.
carrot cake.
But I
like
love
carrot.
A carrot cake.
I do
cake.
Like a carrot cake.
Carrot's got no business being in cake.
What?
It does with cream cheese frosting.
Yeah,
no.
You or a loved one could benefit from a life-saving technology that's learning to detect breast cancer, predict earthquakes, and protect the environment.
Yet another whimsy topic.
Yeah.
We're keeping it really light today.
We are. But these are important issues we need to discuss here at Uncivil Procedure, and perhaps we lack reverence, but we're going to keep going forward.
And the earthquake is the lightest topic of the three, so that's...
And only because we're in the Midwest, I feel like that's a little more crucial.
Sensitive if you're in, like, California.
Yeah.
Sorry, Californians.
But wait a minute. We may have a topic that's even more whimsical than anything we've heard so far.
Awesome.
We've got earthquakes, we've got cancer, we've got the environment... And this life-saving technology may even streamline many legal processes. Daniel Pelk, our hint is Watson might call it elementary.
Wow. I've got nothing, David.
All right, let's give Daniel Pelk another hint. How about Danger Will Robinson, Danger Will Robinson.
Oh, robots.
You're getting there, you're getting there.
Robotics.
Oh, this is good. Listeners, you can't see this, but we are playing charades right now as I impersonate Danger Will Robinson, Danger Will Robinson.
He is flapping his arms.
And dating himself at the same time. Lost in Space for you viewers out there.
Original.
Original.
There's a reboot on Netflix.
There is.
No, is there really?
There is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Same robot?
They just released it pretty recently.
I don't think it's the same robot, but there is, I think, a robot. It's Lost in Space. It's going to have a robot they really didn't plan very well.
Not the same unless you've got the robot.
Yeah.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's Netflix. You know what Netflix is,
Am I
right?
dating myself now?
Yeah.
No, yes, I know what Netflix is.
It was a sci-fi show from like the 60s, same sort of like era, ilk as like Star Trek, is like a nuclear family that's also on a spaceship, and they had a robot that David did a nice approximation of, and then there was...
Thank you, Constantine.
A very treacherous doctor who is also part of the crew that like betrays them every... week and that they still
spoiler
like let him live and everything. It's
right.
Not really a spoiler, but
the robot was the size of a refrigerator and would just follow them around, and you realize as a child this is what the future looks like.
Indeed.
So it was it was a little crazy, but I like the version of the robot though. That was really good.
Of course. So Daniel Pelk, we've almost got you there. Because we've got robot out of you, and so remember our hint, Watson might call it elementary. And so, robots are machines, and what do you do in elementary school? Machine
learning.
Yes! Ding, 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 ding. Daniel Pelk brings it home.
I'm so happy I didn't go with my second response, which is fire drills.
Team, we are getting with it now. We've got our groove on. We're ready for success here. And that means it's time for legal limerick challenge.
Woo-hoo!
Also plagiarized, I mean borrowed from Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Oh great, the General Counsel's office is gonna be after us now. We're not copying anything. This is a transformative, not a derivative work. Tim, batter up.
I'm ready.
Miss Cerulean will recite three legal limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. Listen for the rhyme, and if you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly on two of the limericks, you'll be our big winner and more Relativity Blog swag for you.
Yay!
Bring it on.
Excellent.
All right, Tim. So trouble in the waters for Lab MD with an employee who wanted an MP3. So she loaded LimeWire with free music, but a data breach brought in the...
Director of IT.
Oh!
Close.
Oh,
that was good.
That was beautiful, insightful, and wrong.
Actually, the FTC.
Well, of course.
Wah, wah, wah.
Pretty close, though.
Counselor Kennedy, I think that your answer was actually more imaginative, intelligent than real life, but of course it was the FTC, and this was a case involving data breaches. And it was one of those sad things when we, of course, don't do anything we shouldn't do on our computers because we work in e-discovery. But at LabMD, contrary to LabMD company policy, a manager put LimeWire file sharing software on the computer, and she had a little bit of a slip-up. For her uploading file sharing portion, she included her My Documents folder. Ooh. My Documents on her computer included lots and lots and lots of patient information that reached its way to LimeWire, and then, interestingly enough, a data protection company managed to get it and offered its services to LabMD to, hey, we'll solve this problem for you. When LabMD declined its generous offer, well, this data protection company went straight to the FTC. So is it extortion? Whoop, I didn't say extortion. Who remembers the line from Animal House? Call it extortion again and I'll have your legs broken.
Again, whimsy.
Yes, whimsical. but yeah, it was the FTC. So, Miss Arunian. I think we have yet another lyric.
We do. So in this catalog, you won't find shirts or tees, and its pages aren't the type that come from trees. Click through it to see workshops to earn discovery props. Just visit the windiest of...
cities.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah. Hello.
Nicely does.
Another shameless plug. Come to Relativity Fest. See all the amazing sessions that we have. And we look forward to seeing you there.
How many total sessions do we have, Anna?
Just over 140.
Wow. And how many of those are new this year?
Just over 100. Thank you so much for asking, Julie.
That's crazy. That's awesome. I'm going to have to check some of those out.
You definitely should. Visit relativityfest.com.
I'm going to go this year.
You should. It's really nice. You can like it.
I hear nice things.
All right. So are we ready for our next one?
I think we are. Miss Cerulean, please plow on.
You've had it on-prem. Now it's in the cloud. Relativity users, get ready, get set, get wowed. Grab your tickets for Fest, because Chicago's the best, and you know you can't beat that...
crowd.
Yes!
Yeah. Whoa!
Got it!
Three-point shot from
Come
the parking
from
lot, Counselor Kennedy.
Pressure was on.
McDermott, Will, and Emery is going to be very proud of you, sir.
Yeah, you're
going
to bragging rights.
McDermott will be speaking at Fest, too.
Yes, I will be, actually, presenting on spoliation. I forgot to mention at the very beginning here that I speak for only myself and not for McDermott, Will, and Emery or anyone else associated with the firm.
Counselor Kennedy would like to keep his job, in other words. But seriously, Tim, we're looking forward to having you at Relativity Fest. You're going to...
a well-worded session, too. If you wait, you may spoliate, correct?
Wow.
Don't wait or you may spoliate. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Like, one of the most well-phrased titles we have at Fest.
It fits right in with this limerick challenge with the rhyming.
Indeed it does. Yeah. Good call, Julie.
Now I see why I get picked for this first session.
Yeah. I mean, you are such an artist. I mean, that is so much more exhilarating. It makes me want to go more than... let's be discussing the finer nuances of Federal Rule of Civil Procedure 37E and its 2015 amendments. And, let's get back on track. Thank you, Ms. Cerulean. Yeah. All right. Counselor Kennedy is victorious for himself, only himself. Now it's time for Discover the Truth with another disclaimer to the Office of the General Counsel. Our guest must tell the difference between real cases and fake ones. It's like Bluff the Listener on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, but it's a transformative work, not a derivative work. Ms. Sarunian, what's our topic?
So the legal cases each of our panelists will describe have to do with inventions, and one of them is made up. Tim, pick the panelists whose case is fake, and you'll win some uncivil procedure swag.
Very cool. All right, Constantine, would you like to give us the first case?
I can tell you this is clearly the true one, so just bear that in mind.
He has a very honest face, too.
He does.
Okay, so here's the story. The Barbie doll is a ubiquitous part of American culture. She is the friend of children from the Purple Mountain Majesties to the Amber Waves of Grain. We're waxing poetic here. However, according to Barbie's manufacturer, not everyone has given Barbie the respect she deserves. And in fact, Barbie's owners actually sued a record company for tarnishing Barbie's good name. The Danish pop group Aqua had a hit in 1997 with its song Barbie Girl, but Mattel, Barbie's owners, were not amused with Aqua's portrayal of Barbie's antics with her playmate Ken. Mattel sued Aqua's record label, MCA Records, arguing Aqua's vicious assault on Barbie's good name constituted trademark infringement and dilution in violation of the Federal Lanham Act. The litigation became contentious. The federal appellate court held for MCA, basing its decision in part on the First Amendment and exceptions to the Lanham Act. In its opinion, the U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals told the combating litigants, the parties are advised to chill.
They're advised to chill. Perhaps now, Julie, you'd like to take us on to our second case in your attempt to stump Counselor Kennedy.
I would love to do so, and I would also like to say mine is absolutely, definitely a true case. The Eastern District of Ohio had never had a case like this one before. Lesney Products, the UK-based manufacturer of Matchbox die-cast model cars, filed suit against Mattel, the manufacturer of Hot Wheels. For anyone growing up in the 70s, the rivalry between these two companies became the topic of conversation in elementary schools everywhere. I came a little bit after that, so I unfortunately was not involved in these discussions. The product in question was the 1977 De Tomaso Pantera. After the Matchbox release, the Pantera quickly became the dream of school children around the world. The model, with its pearly white paint and its blue Pantera decals, actually seemed faster than other Matchbox cars, if only in our dreams. Not wanting to be upstaged, Hot Wheels came out with its own version of the De Tomaso Pantera. However, the Hot Wheels model was cast in a luminous silver paint with the De Tomaso Pantera decals. Yet the Matchbox people recognized the decals as identical to theirs. The litigation slugfest was on. The question? Did Hot Wheels infringe on the copyright for the decals applied for by Matchbox? The courtroom in the Eastern District of Ohio was filled with different models of small die-cast cars. The trial would have been a dream for the little speed racers everywhere. The case was serious business, however. The court ultimately held for Mattel and its Hot Wheels brand. The decision hinged on the fact that both Matchbox and Hot Wheels replicated the original decals from the full-size De Tomaso Pantera. Hot Wheels would be allowed to produce their Pantera without hindrance.
Counselor Kennedy, this is getting more difficult for you. Yes. You have two cases involving toys and two cases involving Mattel. To Daniel Pelk for our third legal adventure.
Seeing Hangover 2 wasn't quite the same experience for the audience, actors, or as it turns out, the lawyers as well. As you may recall, our intrepid dentist, played by Ed Helms, arises the dreaded morning after to find that he now has a tattoo emblazoned on his face. A tattoo he doesn't remember getting. The tattoo the dentist finds on his face is identical to the tattoo Mike Tyson displayed in the Hangover 1, the first movie. A tattoo that is very much real and very much permanent. Mr. Tyson's tattoo artist, S. Victor Whitmill, filed suit against the producers of Hangover 2 for copyright infringement. As it turns out, Mr. Whitmill obtained a copyright for the design of Mr. Tyson's tattoo. Furthermore, Mr. Whitmill claimed that Warner Brothers infringed on his copyrighted design by duplicating the design in Hangover 2. A federal judge denied the plaintiff's effort to block the release of the movie, but the case was allowed to proceed. The parties ended up settling for an undisclosed amount.
So you've got Barbie, you've got Matchbox cars, you've got Mike Tyson's tattoo. One of these cases is fake.
Well, I will say they're all very compelling, and I give the panelists a lot of props for the delivery. But I'm going to go with the Barbie Danish pop group Aqua case being the fake case.
The fake case. Miss, is that your final answer, Tim?
It is.
Miss Sarunian, you have the answer.
It's a bold answer, but it's wrong. The Hot Wheels case was actually the fake one.
Which one?
The Hot Wheels
Mine,
case.
Mine, because I'm a great actress.
You are, indeed.
And a good liar.
Yeah, well, that is true.
Barbie is real, and once again, shameless plug time for my former colleagues and former employer, the National Law Journal. 2002, look for my article about this Barbie case. 16 years ago, we adventured down the pathway of Barbie jurisprudence. It's a real case. Sorry, counselor.
What's funny, though, is I haven't seen Hangover 2 at all. And it was, like, on TV on Tuesday, and I watched the entire thing. It was awful.
Yeah, that's where the lawsuit should have come. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the first one was great, but, like, they just, it was not good.
Yeah, you can't duplicate the same script and hope it works a second time.
No.
This completely changes my face tattoo plans.
No, you should still get one.
Yeah.
Mike Tyson will be proud of you.
You
just
mean
make a slight
one, right?
Difference.
Another
you'll
one,
be fine.
Yeah.
And Constantine, they would match your well-manicured hands.
A couple teardrops after you kill somebody in the hot tub, maybe?
Yeah.
You need a lot of...
If only I felt true remorse.
Anyway.
This took another dark turn.
But you know, if it's a dark turn, let's brighten things up with excellent e-discovery from our Relativity One partner friends at CDS. Miss Sarunian?
Support for this episode of Uncivil Procedure has been brought to you by CDS. Trust CDS to handle your most challenging e-discovery matters through every step of the process, from forensic collections to scalable, secure data hosting and managed review. CDS's lawyer technologists and expert project managers offer deep field experience and unmatched support. Put your data in the hands of battle-tested problem solvers with CDS.
Let's go back to the topic of innovation. Now, panel, what will be one of the winning technologies of the 2028 Relativity Innovation Awards? Julie Huner.
I'm glad you've asked me this. I've actually put a lot of thought into this, and most of the thought has gone into what the name of this innovation is going to be, and it's going to be the Gavel. And you're going to pump all your data into Relativity, and it's going to tell you who's guilty.
Oh.
Boom.
Wow.
Case solved.
So attorneys will be out of a job.
Maybe.
And judges.
Maybe.
And court clerks.
Yeah. But look at the efficiency.
Sorry, Mildred. It was a good run.
Good run. She can retire now.
But not jails. They'll be full.
No, they'll be full for everyone.
Counselor Huner, I think you're on to something, because I didn't realize this until I worked with our great team at Creativity to do a graphic for the Relativity blog. That's right. Please read the Relativity blog at www. Sorry. One too many shameless plugs, but please do read the Relativity blog. No, but seriously, we had this graphic of a gavel. It was the Pirro case, the very precedent-setting case in the United Kingdom about technology-assisted review. One of our real experts in the field of e-discovery, Chris Dale of the e-Disclosure Information Project, informed me that in England, they do not use gavels.
Mm.
Gavels are a quintessentially American obnoxious tradition. Didn't you guys think that that was like something that we inherited from old England?
Oh, yeah.
It does seem like it would be, yeah.
For sure.
Do they just slam their fists down or what?
They are civilized in the United Kingdom, Miss Sarunian. They don't do such things. That's for the anarchist colonists.
How do they know when it's over?
Yeah. They use a polo mallet.
A feather.
Yes.
They are so civilized.
That's civilized, right?
Yeah. All right, so the gavel. We've established that the gavel is transforming and innovative, and they could even make an innovation committee over the gavel. Constantine, your prediction for the 2028 Relativity Innovation Award winning technology.
I'm sort of along similar lines to Julie's invention.
I've already patented and trademarked mine, so you better not be too close.
Well, it's good, because then this tool will help me resolve our dispute.
That's true.
So instead of predictive coding, where we actually wait for the lawsuit and pull the documents and everything, it's a predictive settlement app. You're going to predict who's going to sue you, and I'll just mail them a check.
You're going to need
and
that.
And it'll settle before they even think of suing you. So basically, you'll just go through your business and go through your books and say, like, oh, these are some troubling, you know, innovations you've come up with. Potential infringement, potential this, potential breach. And I'll just say, like, let's just send them a check and cut it off before
it
even starts.
Will it pay in Bitcoin? This is going to be 2028, right?
It'll be laser dollars.
Oh. Do you have a name for your app?
So how do you get
the name is the most important part.
How do you get a cord and satisfaction on a Bitcoin settlement?
I didn't bring Bitcoin into this, so we'll have to figure this out.
What's
all
right, your name? So what's the name of your app?
I don't know.
Come on, you're the funniest guy David Horrigan knows.
Right, indeed. Hey, don't let me down here.
Sue me.
He was in that bunker for 30 years.
Yeah. With my fireball.
With Brendan Fraser, was that he's the...
You were Encino Man.
Encino Man?
He was a caveman, right?
No, but there was a... Yeah, maybe it was Encino Man. I don't know.
Anyway, all right, so another winning movie.
I don't know. Relativity predictive settlement.
Settle down?
Not funny.
Predictive settlement. All right, so Julie Huner has brought gavels to a new frontier. Constantine Pappas has taken the fun out of not only infringement litigation and intellectual property, but the very tort lotto itself we've all come to know and love. Daniel Pelk, help us out here. Your invention.
I'm thinking broad. Very broad. So, here's where I'm going. Imagine, if you will, relativity version 30.1, but entirely powered by cold fusion.
Cold fusion.
We're going to power the world with e-discovery. It's going to be magnificent. Magnificent.
Counselor Tim Kennedy of McDermott, Will & Emery, but not speaking for McDermott, Will & Emery, you want to jump in here? Do you have a prediction about what's going to happen in 2028?
You know, all these sound very interesting. And as I was listening, I was thinking, yeah, I can see that. I can see that. And I had a flashback memory of watching The Minority Report. And if anyone saw that, remember those precogs, you know, that could kind of predict the future.
Are you too a Tom Cruise movie scholar? Oh. Top Gun was kind of cool. Risky Business.
You're in my wheelhouse.
Yes, excellent.
A lot of deep cuts there.
So I'm thinking there's a market for that, you know, and that you know, I think about how I work with relativity a lot, and spend a lot of time looking at a screen and moving a mouse, I'd like to be able to do some of that with my eyes and thoughts. And I think that could be 2028.
Mind-bending future virtual reality with Counselor Tim Kennedy of McDermott, Will & Emery. Let's turn things over to Ms. Cerunian for our final farewells of this episode.
Thank you for joining us on our first episode of Uncivil Procedure. A few shout-outs I'd like to give are to our Relativian panelists, Constantine Pappas, Daniel Pelk, and Julie Huner. Our guest was Tim Kennedy of McDermott, Will & Emery, our host, David Horrigan, and of course, our sponsor, CDS. Thanks to a few folks who made Uncivil Procedure possible and civil. Nicholas Matijic, sound and recording engineer, Sam Bach, Christy Esparza, Blair Heidenreich, and Professor Dan Wadlick were the masterminds behind some of the material you heard here today. Carrie Conway, our producer. Brendan Ryan, our podcast creator and executive producer. Sean Gaines, our podcast marketing overlord. Our theme song was created by Carl Sandral. And I'm Anna Cerunian, your David Horrigan Wrangler, and we'll see you next time on Uncivil Procedure.